Let's open the morning with some of the dinim here in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. So everybody knows dinim that apply every year. It may be that we have unique opportunities this year. The opening of Siman Tav Chaf Tes in Hilchos Pesach is all about the lead up, all about particularly the din of Shalom Vidarshim Hilchos Pesach Kam Pesach Shalom Yom. That's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that is supposed to be 30-day run-up to a Yom Tov. You don't just start. The Gemara in the Megillah tells us that there's one level of the din is to learn and to lane about the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov itself. There's a special key, and there's a general mitzvah of Talmud Torah all year long, all day, every day, and that includes all of Halacha. And there's a particular, you know, it's highlighted, there's an added aspect of Talmud Torah whenever it's a lumod amanas lasos. The Rosh Hechter likes to say, we spend time understanding Beis Shammai, and we spend more time understanding Beis Hillel. And obviously, it's always true in Talmud Torah that which is lamasa, sukkadish might leave the hilchusa, has an added layer of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But then the Gemara tells us that on Yom Tov, to learn the halachas of Yom Tov, on the Yom Tov, so that's an added Kim. The Gemara says that means that Moshe Tikkun in Yisrael to learn about the Tikru Osam B'mo Adam. You read, lane, learn about the Yontif on the Yontif. Kriyas HaTorah at its heart is in large part a mitzvah public Talmud Torah, and it's a template for our own going beyond that to continue to learn those topics. As we know, the whole notion of laning every 3 days, not to have 3 days go by without Talmud Torah, because laning is the paradigm, the prototypical Talmud Torah Barabbim. It's not the ceiling, but that's sort of like the floor. That's the most basic, minimal Talmud Torah Barabbim, is at least we should be reading Chumash. We don't have the chance to do that at the moment, but we're getting together in other ways to learn Torah Barabbim, and we learn Torah B'Yechidus. So Kriyas HaTorah is a sort of an indicator of where the mitzvah Talmud Torah is supposed to go. The fact that we lane about the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov is an expression in general of an added kiyum of learning Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres b'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag b'Chag. So to sit and learn over the course of a Yom Tov about the Yom Tov in a substantive way, so that's a very significant kiyum. I know of great Talmid Chachamim who, at least when they have time, over the course of Yom Tov, we'll learn, you know, all or part of the Masechta or Masechtos, which are relevant to the Yom Tov. And Ba'asher Husham, every series Ben Torah should be figuring out what could that look like for me? What could that look like for me in terms of learning a chunk of the Masechta or a chunk of the Mishnah Berurah or the Chai Adam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Psukim Chumash with the Ramban, learning the Halacha and Agada of the Yom Tov over the course of the Yom Tov. So that's level one. And then level two, what the Shulchan Aruch opens with, because the Shulchan Aruch is arranged chronologically, what comes earlier than Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach is Shloshim Yom Korma Pesach. The fact that we're supposed to be preparing for the Yom Tov in advance, we're supposed to learn the dinim of the Yom Tov in advance. The Makar actually is opening Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier Svarim, the Gemara openly, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was already teaching them in Nisan about Pesach Sheni. That's in Bamidbar, I believe, Bamidbar Perek Tes. We lane it one of the days of Cholam. We're laning for one of the days of Cholam at Pesach. During Nisan, he's already telling them about Pesach Sheni. It's going to happen in Iyar. That's one of the paradigms to this idea of learning about the Diyum in advance. Those who learn Masechta Sukkah know that it's not only in terms of learning the halachas, we assume it's already on your mind more. That's why the assumption is if you build a sukkah within 30 days of sukkahs, even if it's not, you know, obviously very sukkadic, but within 30 days, we assume that the stam intention is that it's been done for the yantav, because 30 days is usually going to be the time frame for both intellectual and spiritual and emotional preparation in terms of the learning, as well as the practical preparation. Like, if I've been in a house, 30 days is the time frame within which I might already start doing B'dikas Chametz, as we discussed Purim time. So that's the time frame. The poskim discuss, is it true for every mitzvah? Is it true for every yomtiv? Not every yomtiv has as many halachas as Hilchos Pesach. When you learn all Hilchos Pesach, they're not all equally relevant, but you learn all Hilchos Pesach, that's from Simon Tav Chav Tes all the way until the Tav Tzadis or the late Tav Peis. So that's a lot. That's 60 simayim. That's a lot. Obviously, there's not so much Hilchos Shavuos. It's a little more sparse. So whether this applies to all Yom Tovim equally, or maybe the full 30 days only for Pesach, maybe Sukkot, that have more dinim, that's a good question. But either way, many do assume that it's a full 30 days before. But certainly for Pesach. Certainly for Pesach, there's plenty to learn, and plenty of, as we've been saying throughout, plenty of halachic material to learn, to know, and plenty of hashkafic richness to absorb in advance of the Yontif. And then the Shulchan, the Ramah goes right into some of the practical preparations, and specifically Moed Chitim. Specifically, being the first preparation is being sensitive to other people's preparation. It's a very powerful statement. The first preparation for Yom Tov is to think about how are other people going to prepare for Yom Tov. We mentioned yesterday, within safety guidelines, finding out if there's a capacity in your neighborhood to safely help other people who are not going to be able to make Pesach for themselves, they're going to need deliveries and things of that sort. That's something to be aware of. And as a person begins to make money, the run-up to Purim and the run-up to Pesach and the run-up to Rosh Hashanah are the times when, in many ways, the mitzvah of tzedakah stands out the most. And then Shulchan Aruch gets into... Shabbos HaGalon, Siman Tav Lamed, and the Ramah has a minig, which the Vilna Gaon is very opposed to. Ramah has a minig that mincha of Shabbos HaGadol, the Jew sits down with a Haggadah and goes through much of Magid. From Avadim Hayinu all the way until the Chaper Al Kol Avon Oseinu, up until Rabban Gamliel HaYomer. In some of the old school Haggadah, see, there's even a line. After Dayenu, it says, Ad Kan Om Shabbos HaGadol. So that's the Ramah had this minig. The Vilna Gaon is very, very upset about it. The Vilna Gaon says, wait a minute, it's mamish against what we say in the Haggadah. What line in the Haggadah is directly against this? Vilna Gaon said, we say it every year. It's in the Haggadah. Ah, very good. Right, I mentioned yesterday that the Magid opens with a question and then gives an initial answer to the question of Adam Hayinu, and then we take a break before the second answer question is Mitchila Ovid Avodah Zarah, like a page or two in between. In between, we take a break to review some of the instructions for Magid. Who does it, how much we do it, and how we do it, and when we do it. In terms of when, everyone remembers, Yochem Erech Chodesh Tamalom Yomahu. They said, maybe I should be having the mitzvah of Sipur Tzitzrayim throughout Chodesh Nisan. All Chodesh Nisan is Chodesh Agul. No, it has to be Bayom Ahu. What's Bayom Ahu? It's fine. We narrow it down. It has to be Leil Hased, Leil Tezvav, when you actually have the matzah mar on the table. So Vilna Gaon says, wait a minute. And then that's the Haggadah is quoting from the Midrash Halacha. So Vilna Gaon says, well, even Tanam already said Befer. It says, no mitzvah Sipur Tzitzrayim until you get the Leil Tezvav. So Vilna Gaon says, what type of minig? You have a minig to go through Magid, the Shabbos before? Minhagim aren't just cute things. They are fuzzy. Minhagim are substantive kiyumim. That's the point that the Rav Soloveitchik used to make often in the Shulchan Aruch Shiurim, based on the approach of the Vilna Gaon here and in many other places. That Minhagim, just as dinim dirabanan, we've said, the Gemara points out, called the tikkun rabbanan ke'in deraisa tikkun, that when Chazal create and craft, when Chazal invent dinim drabanan, they don't just do them randomly. They seek as much as possible to use as their design blocks to use patterns that already exist in dinim daraisa, ke'ein daraisa tikkun. So the Rav Rav developed the idea based on the Gaon and others that the same is true for Minhagim as well. Minhagim aren't stam, Rachman Litzlan, Jewish folk customs. Minhagim are substantive Jewish traditions that are further expressions of the halachic system, things which are not, obligatory mitzad adin, but are meaningful extensions and expressions of the system of Torah Shal Peh, the Dim Daraisa and Dim Drabanan, sort of like Ken Daraisa Tikkun. The Minhagim are further expansion of that same coherent system. So Vilna Gaon says, what do you mean you have a minig to say the Haggadah on the Shabbos before? What does that mean? The Befeirush says no kiyum. It's a havamina. You know, for many, 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 many years, from decades, there was a Talmud Chacham. By the time I came to YU, he was already a senior Talmud Chacham, who spent his days around on the YU campus. His name was Rabbi Yosef Winevsky. He was a blind Talmud Chacham, an incredible Eloi. He used to sit in the library for hours every day. People would come and read Sfarim to him, and he would talk and learn with them. He was very sharp in learning, and a very sharp wit. he learned in Chaim Berlin as Bacher. So he'd said a number of times, said, oh, and he was in Chaim Berlin. He had a chavrusa who was machmer for every havamina in Shas. Thing like, psh, right? He said, especially one of the first ones in Maseches Brachas. V'dibar tabam, yachal b'dvarim b'teilim. The Gemara says, was v'dibar tabam mean saying Kriyat Shema? The guy says, do you think it means dvarim b'teilim, stam teshmuz? No, it means Kriyat Shema, it means Talmud Torah. So the Rabbi Nevsky said, tongue in cheek, he had a chavrusa, was right. Very machmer for that havamina. Very machmer to speak dvarim b'teilim. Right? That's obviously not a meaningful thing to do for real. So that's what Vilna Gaon says. It's very nice. It was a Havamina, Yachem Rosh Chodesh, but it's clearly rejected. So what type of minig? So the Vilna Gaon wanted to do away with this older minig Ashkenaz that the Ramah records in Siman Taf Lamed. It could be that the Pashup Shat in the minig is that it was an organized way not of having any kiyum on Shabbos HaGadol, but it was an organized way of being mekayim what we spoke about in the previous, both layers of what we spoke about in the previous siman. Now, there is a dinim shalom v'darshim hilchas pesach, koron pesach shloshim yom, to learn the dinim in advance, and only to learn the dinim, as I said before, to prepare yourself practically for the mitzvah. During the 30 days before Sukkot, you're supposed to make sure that you're going to have lulav and esrei, that you're going to have a sukkah. You don't wait until Erev Sukkot's afternoon to say, hey, I don't have a sukkah. Right? You don't wait until Erev Pesach afternoon to recognize you don't have matzah and marah. You're supposed to be making, not only learning in the Talmud Torah, but the practical preparations for the mitzvah is supposed to be happening, you know, over the month, if need be, in advance of the Yom Tov. So it could be the Pashup Shat and the Minhag, the Ramah is quoting, like, you know, the Ramah quotes a Minhag. I don't know if you don't know how to use the term Minhag. I've used some terminology like that. In the beginning of Hilchas Basar B'chalof. Remember Hilchas Basar B'chalof? In the beginning of Hilchas Basar B'chalof, the Ramah says that you're going to have to keep separate pots and pans and forks and knives and milchas and fleshiks. So he says that you have to mark which one is milchas and which one is fleshiks. You have to just keep them in different drawers. They all look the same. That's asking for trouble. He says the minhag was that you would make a nick or drill a hole in the cutlery that was milchik. That's how you knew which one was milchik, which one was fleshik, because the ones that had the hole in them were milchik, and the ones that did not were fleshik. If I remember correctly, in Taravadas, as a youth, I think in the dining room in Taravadas, that's what they had. The milchik, the metal, simple metal cutlery, hundreds, and all the milchik stuff had a hole drilled through it, you know, I mean, in the handle. And all the fleshik stuff did not. That's how you knew what the milchik of fleshik. Ramah even quotes a pasuk, a remez, just a asmachta, charitze hechalav. It doesn't really mean that, but it sounds like charitz could also mean a groove. So charitze hechalav, which in context means something else, but it sounds like you're saying the grooves of the milk. So that's the Ramah says, that's the minhag, that you make a groove in the milchik, you don't make a groove in the fleshik. That's how you know milchik and fleshiks. We don't do that. We have, you have corel in different colors or whatever it is. You have different patterns for your milchik cutlery and fleshik cutlery and different coloring, color schemes for milchiks and fleshiks. Exactly. So the minhag really is to have some system for knowing which is milchik and which is fleshik. And the way it had been done for a long time was, before they had, back in the day, they didn't have different patterns. You didn't go to the store and buy, you know, choose from seven different patterns of silverware. You had knives, and maybe you had some forks also, and you got some plates. There wasn't that much variety that you could rely on. Things weren't mass producing. There weren't so many options. So it could be here also. The goal is really not, it's not that there's a kiyum, perhaps. Rama also agrees. There's no kiyum of Sipratius Mitzrayim on Shabbos HaGol. What he's saying is something that we all think about. You have to prepare for the Seder. If a Jew is just going to come to the Seder, particularly the Bala Seder, whoever's running the Seder, you're just going to show up to the Seder, Shiol Bizocha Mitzashem, in X number of years from now, to be running Seder. Maybe some of you will be going to your parents or in-laws for longer, and some of you will start more quickly to make your own Seder. But sooner or later, Mitzashem, you all, in good health, be running Seder. And one of the ABCs is you can't just walk in cold. It's true for every Shabbos Suda. If you're the Baal HaBayis, it pays to prepare for the Shabbos Suda in advance. Now someone has to prepare the food, and hopefully you're doing part of that preparation. But also prepare for the Ruchnius, what's going to go on the Shabbos Suda. It may be Divrei Torah, it may be Zmiris, and it may be table games, and probably a combination of all three. And that's true for every Shabbos Suda. And it's certainly true for the Seder. You're going to run a Seder as an exalted opportunity. You want to prepare for it. You want to spend time in advance. You're just going to show up cold. It's not going to be nearly as good or nearly as effective, CPTS and Zrayim, as if you've thought through, you know, what are the themes that you want to think about, who your audience is, who are going to be the people around the table, what are their ages, where are they at, where are their heads, what sorts of ideas would be meaningful for them, and to think about the themes you want to address, and then where you're going to weave them in, and think about particular ha'aris you want to make in different parts of the Haggadah. That is the wise, responsible thing to do if you're the Bala Seder, if you're the one who's running the Seder, even if you're not yet the Bala Seder, but not a bad idea to prepare for the Seder still, in terms of what are the things that you would like to share. But certainly, if you run the Seder, you got to be prepared. It could be after the Ramah is saying. Not that there's a kiyum, but just like with the Milchus and the Fleishiks, there is a need to differentiate clearly to Milchus and Fleishiks. So for many centuries, the Mahalach was, based on the Pasuk, the most convenient way to do it was Charitzei HaChalav. But the goal is no kiyum in puncturing your milchiks, but the goal is to have a simon. See here too, the goal is to be well prepared for the Seder. The goal is Shalom Adarshan, the goal is to make sure that you don't come into the Seder cold. So the Mahalach had been to sit down, if no other time, then at least sit down on the Shabbos afternoon before the Seder and look through the Haggadah, read through the Haggadah, and refresh, get the juices flowing, so that you're not going to come to the Seder. So like the minimal preparation is at least read through Magid the Shabbos afternoon before. So at least it'll get the juicy. You remember the dinim, you remember what you're supposed to do, you remember kosos, you remember that, and it'll get you to think about some of the ideas, hopefully, that you want to talk about also. So it's possible that the Ramah agrees with the Gra, there's no kiyum, but he's just saying this had been the common practice in terms of how to accomplish some minimum prep for the Seder. And then, of course, yeah, question. You open up a Haggadah, you go through it. Now, again, the Ramah does make it sound, he does say, the minhag is to actually read through all of it. You can accomplish preparation without verbalizing it. So this minhag may have developed in order to ensure that everyone was doing some sort of basic preparation. If everyone reads through the bulk of Magid, so at least on a very basic level, you know, everyone's getting their juices flowing, and we're going to have better Siddurim in Klal Yisrael if everyone at the very least reads through the Magid a few days before. That's what the Ramah seems to say. That's possibly what the Ramah means to say. The Vilna Gaon, so he took the Ramah as saying there's like a kiyum in reading it, and he was very, very unhappy with that. I mean, the literal reading of the Ramah is, Ramah says, the minig is to say, from Avon Mayyud until Chapar Al Kalvon Hosein, on the afternoon of Shabbos Agal. That's what Ramah says. So Vilna Gaon says, what does that mean? The Medrash Halacha is explicit, there's no reason to do that. There's no kiyum in doing that. Ad Kan. So I'm suggesting, and I don't think it's my own suggestion, I think others have pointed this out as well, that it could be that the Ramah didn't mean the kiyum, he just meant the minhag is to do this so that will, not so that we'll begin Sipratius Mitzrayim now, but that so that we'll be do a better job of Sipratius Mitzrayim later in the week. It's the most practical time. You can tell people, just do it at some point, Okay, it may not happen. Tell people to do it on Tuesday night. Okay, you live in a community where there's a Haggadah Shiur, you know, on a Sunday night, a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Gevaldik. But it's not true that for Jews all over the world for the last number of centuries, everyone had Haggadah Shiur, or everyone had any Shiur. And who says people have time to learn during the week? Some people do, and many people don't. And people were, you know, the Wasser Schleppers, who were spending 12 hours a day carrying buckets of water from the well up the hill to the town and back down again. They may or may not have had a night seder. Some of them did and some of them didn't. But to say, Shabbos afternoon, everyone can keep their eyes open for a half hour and go through the Haggadah, that's a minimum that Klal Yisrael as a whole can take on. And everyone, that's a floor. That's not the ceiling. Everyone can be Mosif. But at least sort of sets a basic standard. And then, of course, Shulchan Aruch goes into the halachas of Bedikas Chametz. We had a chance to survey some of this, obviously the whole slew of sugyas. We had a chance to begin to take a look at some of them. And as you saw, the Mishnah tells us about the timing and about the when and the how. That it's supposed, ideally supposed to be done Leil Yudal. You only make a bracha if it's done Leil Yudal. Leil Yudal with an Ar HaNer. The Bizman HaZeh, our best Ar HaNer, is a flashlight that allows you to get in carefully in the dark with a flashlight. It allows you to get in carefully and see, discover any chametz that may be lurking under a bed, and so on and so forth. And you have to look in the places where chametz has been brought. I just was on the phone with a couple yesterday in their situation. The entire mitzvah drabah v'dikas chametz in their house is only the kitchen and the dining room. Zehu. Because they haven't brought chametz anywhere else over the last number of months. That's the only place where the chametz comes. There are no little kids in the house. No one's running to the basement to play with the toys with the Cheerios. Okay. In other houses, it's different. Every person, every family has to figure out what are the makomos shemachnis b'hem chametz. Some families will be one or two rooms, and some families will be 10 rooms. And you have to do an honest b'dikas chametz, and that includes the poskim point, that includes the pockets of the clothing. That is often the most time-consuming part of b'dikas chametz, is going through, again, I don't know, not shirt pockets, but going through suit pockets and pants pockets, and going through the coats. And if there are knapsacks, going through the knapsacks and the purses, so that's all part of b'dikas chametz. Again, if you live in a house where people put chametz in their pockets, which again will depend a lot on family styles and ages of family. For an older couple, it's going to be typically the kitchen, the dining room, zehu. In a family with little kids, it's going to be much more extensive and much more expansive. And we had a chance to discuss in Ian, so there'll be situations where the chametz is absolutely inaccessible, or the chametz is largely inaccessible, and sometimes you can rely on bittul alone. Obviously, cars are also a perfect example of a makam, and again, in most families, a makam shechnisim bel chametz. If in your family the rule is chokvel yavar, we don't bring chametz into, you can only bring apples and celery into the car all year long, or nothing at all. Okay, so then there's no reason to check the car. But if your family, there are plenty of Cheerios and crackers and pretzels coming into the car over the course of the year. So then a car is a makam shechnisim bel chametz. You got to do a bedikas chametz, and that means that after you start in the house, then afterwards you go out to the driveway with a flashlight, then you go through with it covered by the same bracha. You go through the car. The post can turn turns the bracha. We do make the discussion why we do make the bracha al bir chametz at the beginning of the process, even though the most central part of bir chametz is the bir chametz itself, which typically takes place Yom Yudal, as we know, we make the bracha, the Takan Rabban is, we make the bracha at the beginning of the process, namely Leil Yudal. If you're doing B'dikas Chametz Leil Yudal, if you're doing B'dikas Chametz any other time, if you're doing B'dikas Chametz earlier, on a previous night or previous day, then you do B'dikas Chametz, but without the bracha. Without the bracha. Yeah, the last sim, I think I mentioned to you, the last sif in Simon Tav Lamed Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though you swept your room on Yud Gimel Nisan, you still have a Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz on Leil Yudalet. You swept your room. How about that? Such a, can you imagine? A person actually swept the room the afternoon before B'dikas Chametz. And then the Ramah goes on to say, and indeed, that's what you should do. Tzchol Adam Sarach L'chabid Chadar of Kod Nabedika. Every Jew ought to sweep the house before doing B'dikas Chametz. Should clean the house before B'dikas Chametz. Right? We, as I mentioned in the past, they had smaller houses, and they had a lot more... because of the incredible affluence we have compared to Doros Rishonim, so we look at them, they did a lot less cleaning for Pesach and a lot more kashering for Pesach. They rarely, it was not common to have a full set of Pesach dishes. Thank you. It was not common that Doros Rishonim to have a full set of Pesach, Pesach silverware and Pesach pots and pans. The standard, as you see, as you dig deeper into Hilchos Pesach, there are a number of long simanim, Tafnun Aleph, Tafnun Beis, dedicated to how to kasher everything. I mean, some things aren't kasherable, but it seems like the common thing was to kasher as much as you could. it was rare to have like a full Pesach set of anything. Maybe you had a Pesach sifter, and you had a Pesach, certain items that can't be kashered, you had separate for Pesach. They did a lot of kashering because they couldn't afford, most Jews could not afford, just more sets of cutlery and so on and so forth. And Le'idachis, they did a lot less cleaning for Pesach. The homes were smaller and simpler. There was less furniture. There are far fewer places for the chametz to hide. So that's what Ramah says. It's a good idea to sweep the house on the Yud Gimel in the afternoon. We have larger, more complex houses. There are many more places for the chametz to hide. So just to say I'll sweep the house on Erev Pesach, the afternoon for B'dikas Chametz, that's not going to suffice. It's going to take more prep. It doesn't have to take 100 hours, but it is going to take some more prep. And it's always true every year that you have a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, mitzvah d'oraisa Kibud Av V'Em throughout the year. And it's one of the major variables in determining the parameters of Kibud Av V'Em is what would be helpful for your parents. So it's not that Kibud Av V'Em per se is a bigger mitzvah in Chodesh Nisan, but it is true that the need is often greater in Chodesh Nisan. Ritzon shel Am Zeh Kvodo. There are often more needs that need to be met Chodesh Nisan. So Kibud Av V'Em, reasonable request to help you, if there's a reasonable request to be helpful. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mamash a mitzvah d'oraisa, like putting on tefillin, like shaking a lulav on sukkahs. You have a mitzvah, like Hashavas Haveda. You have a mitzvah d'oraisa to be of service and be helpful to parents whenever they're making reasonable requests. Sometimes requests are unreasonable. But if they make a reasonable request to help, often there are things that you can do that they cannot do, or they just need an extra pair of hands. Sometimes it'll be, they need to, order airplane tickets. And for you, it's a snap of the fingers. You understand, you're a digital native, you understand exactly what to do. And for them, it's more complicated. Okay, so there's a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Or maybe something they can do also. They just need another pair of hands. You can be helpful. So that's the mitzvah d'oraisa all year long. Obviously, in the run-up to Pesach, there's going to be, there could be more opportunities to fulfill that mitzvah d'oraisa. It's achana for Pesach, as we discussed in Tav Chav Tes, and the mitzvah d'oraisa, your day reish mem of Kibud Av V'Em. So you should seek if a school schedule is a lighter, so that gives you more opportunities to be helpful. Helpful might mean helping out with the cleaning for Pesach, the preparing for Pesach, the food prep, what have you, the kashering. Helpful might be for those who are home with younger siblings. Helpful might be also, being proactive about engaging younger siblings so that everyone at home is calmer and to give parents the headspace to get done what they need to get done. But we should remember that mitzvah that appears in the Yeridaya of Kibud Av V'Em has often particular relevance. There are more opportunities for that this season of the year. Okay. We'll pick up with more Yom HaPesach and Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.